wanna be guilty. Clouds rolling on the horizon, thunder's ringing in my ears. I may not be ready for what's coming, but I know I fall. Let the sky. Though I might be afraid, I will trust in your ways. I know your hands are right there holding on. Help me walk out in faith into the wind and waves, and be my strength when all my strength is gone. I need you to carry on. Stand against me, Lord, you're always by my side. No wound is deeper than your healing. No wall so tall it can't be climbed. No, let the sky fall.
Good evening. Welcome back to Assurance Baptist Church. Let's stand and sing together this evening. We had a great day. We broke our Sunday school record this morning again, and we had one baptized, and so we've had a wonderful day in the house of the Lord already, and looking forward to more. The kids are meeting tonight in their summer program, and so we're so thankful that you're here with us tonight.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless and all in wonder. The King of glory. This is amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Would lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Sing it out here.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. Take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that you would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Praise the Lord. Let's keep singing tonight. We got a new one tonight. Fellas, if you guys turn the music up a little bit for us this evening, I appreciate it.
I count on one thing, the same God. Will not fail me now, won't fail me now.
shake someone's hand this morning, this evening.
Good evening, good evening. If we could work our way back to our seats. Let us continue to praise our Lord and Savior by turning to page 125, singing the first, second, and last verse of Joy to the World. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. let's continue by turning to page 477, singing Stand Up for Jesus. Turning to page 404, singing the solid rock, first, third, and last verse. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest from the holy name on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Third verse, his oath is covenant and his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid
wonderful day already in the house of the Lord, and seeing Miss Abby baptized in the house of the Lord, and to see people saved and baptized, and we are very blessed, church family, to be able to witness people walking the aisles and getting baptized after they're saved. Not everybody walks the aisle and gets saved, or just in general, people getting saved, and so we're all thankful and grateful to the Lord, because the Lord provides that, amen. Nothing we've done, but using our talents, gifts, and abilities how he will. And so we're very thankful for that. I want to give some praises. We are thankful this evening. Sister Betty Robbins is back at the nursing home out of the hospital. And then also very grateful that the Stiver family, they've got their closing date. And so that's a blessing. We've been praying for their house situation. Got offloaded the car all at the same time. And so God's answering those prayers. So very grateful with everything they've gone through, taking care of Todd's parents' estate because of his passing of his father, and then his mother being in the nursing home. And so we're very grateful that God has answered those prayers. We want to continue to pray for Brother Logan Hatcher in a lot of pain, Sister Bethany reports. And so we want to keep him in our prayers after a pretty major surgery. And then also Sister Robin Erickson,
had a surgery, and we want to keep her in our prayers, and she's resting comfortably. Her mom is down here helping to take care of her. And then Sister Randy Searcher, crazy as she is, came to teach her Sunday school class, and the preacher sent her home after her sinus surgery. She needs to be resting, so Brother Matthew is over there at her house right now helping to take care of her and making sure that they're all good. So keep all those folks in your prayers as we nurse them back to health. But very grateful that God is healing, and he's picked people back in. We had a great crowd this morning, good crowd tonight. The youth are out there running the kids program in the heat better than us. It's hot enough in here. These old air conditioning units just can't keep up sometimes. But we're grateful. Hey, listen, it's a lot cooler than here than it was in Englewood Elementary School when there was no air conditioning at all. So we can handle this. If I'm not sweating before the preaching, then you know it's not that hot in here, all right? So we are working at that. But I do want to say this. God has put on us, as you see this morning, that we have had multiple people coming in and multiple visitors. My friend Trey's here tonight, so with Trey, we've had 10 to 12 visitors here this morning, and then still people that are out traveling, the Fortunatos and others. And so I want to thank you and commend you, because there were several of you who got up this morning, did allow those visitors to have your seat as we added another row or as we moved here or there. And that's probably going to be the way it is for a little bit. But I want to just kind of make you aware that there may be a day where the choir sits in the loft or whatever. But so thank you for being like that, and continue to do that. If a visitor comes, it's very hard for visitors to come in and not know where to go, especially when they come in a little late and people are standing up to see if there's any seats. And again, we parking, seats, all these things are just come with growing, and that's good. But continue to do that and be a blessing that way. If that needs to be something that you do, if you're a regular here, give somebody your seat. And if you feel comfortable, as long as you can behave, come up on the stage and sit behind me. I'm always up for amen row. I'm always up for somebody rallying behind me and saying something. It's like a pep talk while you're preaching. If somebody wants to amen or pat me on the back or give me water, feed me grapes, anything like that, I'm up for. But we want to make sure that we're grateful to our guests, right? To our visitors. In order for people to join our church family, you got to be a visitor once, right? Everybody here was a visitor at least the first time. Now, it's just like our house. You come back the second time, you better get here early and find your own seat. No. But we are very thankful for you doing that this morning. A couple of announcements in the morning, 8:15, Brother Jeremy, Sister Christy, leading our third through sixth graders to Splash Camp in the morning down at Camp Chautauqua in Miamisburg. We need those children dropped off here at 8:15 so that we can get through lice checks and check in, all those things, and then take them down there to the camp. And we like to get down there early so we can get up. Jeremy has things he has to take care of down there. So help Pastor Jeremy, Sister Christy, get all the things that need to be taken care of. Get your kids here on time, ready to go. And then also, we want to encourage, now I didn't say it this morning, but any of you folks that are coming to clean or anybody that just wants to do this, we don't need nearly as much, but if anybody wanted to drop off fruit snacks or granola bar or something like that, like we did for the youth, again, just because the ages are smaller groups, if anybody wants to bring, and the counselors will appreciate it too. They'll appreciate some snacks. So nothing that would get, there's no refrigerator, nothing that would melt because it's going to be hot. But if you'd like to do that in the morning, you're coming. Or if you'd like to drop that off, they're leaving at 8:15. If you can't get here before then and you come, even midweek service, not Wednesday, but if you can get here before midweek service, I'll be making a couple trips down to check in on them, and I can take it down there as well. But we want to make sure we take good care of them. Excited about camp. Also want to remind our choir that next Sunday night, we come back into rehearsals at 4 p.m. So we've been off the month of July. At 4 p.m., we come back to rehearsals. Anybody that's looking to join the choir, that would be a good time. Please let me know if you're planning on joining the choir. That way I'll get your robe and your book, all these things. But it would be great for you. We've got limited space. But we'll make space, all right? We'll make it happen. So I want you to come out for that if you feel led. Then we also have Promotion Day coming up. That's exciting news for all of our young folks moving up. And this is the first year in a long time that I can remember we haven't had, we've moved them up throughout the year. Miss Abby Hottinger moved up, but we don't have any nursery children moving up. And so with that being said, we got people coming out of youth, people going from children's to youth, people that are going to college and career for the first time, starting that class. But all of you mothers and young folks and people that have babies, because of just the shifting of everything. There's a changing table that we've put over in the hallway where we store the ping pong table and the whiteboard over there close to the fellowship hall. So it's there in case the nursery's locked or whatever, or if the nursery's got people in it and you can't get into the nursing room because we're using it for a classroom. There's at least a changing table over there. The restrooms aren't large enough to put it in there, but we have that over there for your blessing that you can use that. So we're looking forward to growing. We've got lots of stuff we've got to continue to build upon and to try to grow and try to rearrange things and things like that. But I will say this to you, that's all a blessing. It's all a blessing. And so we've got some plans. The deacons and trustees and I had a meeting this afternoon, but I want you guys to know all those things. Also, ladies, if you are interested and you weren't able to go to the meeting for the ladies' conference at Bible Baptist Church West Union, so we go to one at our sending church, Bible Baptist Wilmington, in the spring, and then we go to this one in the fall. See my wife. She's in the nursery tonight, but you can see her for a packet of information there. Or if you have anybody else that would like to go, please see Ms. Chandra for that. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Back in our study in the book of Isaiah after a couple of weeks off, being gone and preaching down in Savannah and then being back here. Wasn't that amazing that I go all the way to Savannah, Georgia and preach there, and then a young lady's there from Fairborn while I was preaching, and then she shows up to church this morning. So I told Pastor McInerney, look, you got a visitor 1 week and we got a visitor next week. The same visitor. See how we shared that? So if you got any other people that are in Savannah on vacation from Dayton, I told them, send them our way. But that's just a God thing, isn't it? Of all the weeks he'd been gone to see Bertie, you know, for a month in and out. And then the week that I'm there, she said, we've been looking for a church in Dayton. So what a wonderful thing. And then we had visitors this morning that are from Blanchester. And I said, of all the places in the world, they said, you know where Blanchester is? I said, my wife is a Wildcat. She graduated from Blanchester. So we're from Wilmington. And they said, nobody knows where Blanchester is. I said, well, I do. And we talked about the Dairy Point and all the good things about Blanchester. That's probably about it. But anyway. produce my wife. That's about it. So that was a blessing that we saw those folks this morning. Isaiah chapter 11, we're going to look through this. I'm not going to say it, never mind. We're going to get through chapter 11 and chapter 12. I was going to say maybe, but we're going to, all right? We look today, and this is really eschatology. This isn't anything mind-blowing as far as it's nothing that a lot of you don't know, but not everybody does. And so we're going to explain it this evening. And we see here in chapter 11, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse is the name of David's father. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. And so these are prophecies. These are prophecies of Jesus Christ. And it not only speaks of his first advent, but then it will go on to speak of the millennial kingdom, this reign. And so we want to keep two things in order this evening. One, that we believe in the rapture. Amen. Our church believes that there is a supernatural, the next event in prophecy, major event in prophecy, is that Jesus Christ will call up his children. He doesn't come down to us. We go up to him. It's a snatching away or a transporting. If you look for that word rapture in the Bible, you'll not find it, but that's what it is. It's a transport. And so you can find that in Thessalonians and other places. But we have to keep that separate because many people talk about Jesus returning. They'll say, when Jesus comes back. But before Jesus comes back to earth, the rapture has to happen first, okay? Jesus doesn't come back until there's this battle called Armageddon. And even Armageddon's not the end, as people would have you believe. But Jesus returns at this battle. He comes down, and they supernaturally, God wins. Then he puts his feet on the ground in the Mount of Olives, comes through that eastern gate, and sets up his earthly kingdom, a millennial kingdom. So we got to keep those two things straight. The rapture and the second coming are not the same. The second thing is that not everything that Isaiah talks about here as far as prophecy is Jesus' second advent or the rapture. Some of the things happen while he's on earth. They're simultaneous. They're dual purpose. Remember we talked about these dual purpose prophecies that sometimes Jesus, they're something that's going on in the current day, but it's also going to happen later in history. And so it's historical, but it's also prophetical. And so we see this in Isaiah's day. He sees this rod, the stem of Jesse. Now, you think about a rod, think about a stump. It's a great illustration. We haven't cut the stump out front of our... Once in a while, some stems grow out of it. Every once in a while, there's some new growth that comes out of that you can just pull it with your hands. But this is what's going on. Remember what we've talked about so far. Israel has been obliterated or is going to be obliterated by the Assyrians. And Judah is going to remain, but there's going to be very little, just a small remnant of people from of God's people, right? And so think about all the trees next door being cut down, and all that remains is this stump on our property. And out of that stump, there grows a little life, and that little bit of life is the life. It is life growing, life giving. It represents an opportunity for growth. It represents an opportunity for life. Jesus is the stem. He's the branch, but he out of Jesse, there comes this life, and now this branch, it's not going to just be a stem. It's going to grow into a branch. It's going to blossom, and it's going to create new life. If you're saved today, you're a part of this branch. Amen? He's the vine. He's the big branch, and you are the branches that have grown out of it, but we see that spiritually. And the Spirit of the Lord, verse 2, shall rest upon him. Remember when the dove comes and rests upon Jesus, but it's the Holy Spirit? It's prophetical, and it actually happened in Jesus' time. But not only that, the Holy Spirit is Jesus' spirit. God is a spirit, right? And they're three in one, but Jesus can't have any other spirit but the Holy Spirit. You've heard me say it before. When Jesus said, Father, I commend the Spirit, you know, I'm letting the ghost go. And it says he gave up the ghost. He gave up the Holy Ghost. Now watch. In his humanity, but then he also what? Apostles in the room. He gave it, and then the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell, and we have to keep that in order biblically. The Holy Ghost didn't fall on the Gentiles there. That doesn't happen later until the book of Acts. Remember that? And they go on, and then they go to Cornelius, and they say, even the Gentiles have the Holy Ghost now. Jesus, the Spirit of God, rests on him because he is God, but then the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of standing, and the Spirit of counsel, and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So in literally, the Spirit of God rests upon him, the Spirit of the wisdom of God. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago in Isaiah. Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father. All the attributes of God will be in this branch, this stem that comes out of Jesse. Jesse being David's father, David being the forerunner, this earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ who will sit on the throne of his father David. And so this lineage of Judah, this tribe. And we see here, look at verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. God does not look on the outside appearance, but he looks on the heart. We talked in our discipleship class this morning about the righteous and the wicked. What you assume is right or what you consider right is not necessarily what God says is right. What you say is wicked is not necessarily even what God says is wicked, right? I think my mother-in-law is wicked, but he says she's saved. But the truth of the word of God is this. He's not judging by earth standards. He's judging by his righteous standard, and that's how Jesus came. Remember, now you got to take this a little deeper. The Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees wanted Jesus to judge by lawful standards, and not even lawful, they made up stuff, right? They wanted him to judge by human standards. But Jesus judged in his godliness. Jesus never judged in his humanity. Had Jesus judged in his humanity, the apostles would have been in a lot of trouble. Asked and said some crazy stuff around Jesus. And if Jesus was in his humanity, he probably would have smacked the apostles up a few times. But he judged in his righteousness, cloaked in his righteousness. He judged in his God. He's hypostatic union. He's both man and God. He can't be separated from either one. He's both at the very same time. But praise be to God that he only judges in his godliness and not in his humanity. So we see this. Go down to verse 4. But with the righteousness shall he judge the poor. Jesus was good to the poor on earth, wasn't he? He judged with the righteousness of God. Now listen, you know me. When I drive by, Michael Jordan said, if that guy can stand out front on the curb and say, could I have a dollar? He can stand at McDonald's and say, welcome to McDonald's. I agree with that. I agree with that. You can get a job. Amen. Some people are so allergic to it, boy, they won't even turn to the book of Job because they don't know. But listen, I want you to understand this. Jesus was right to the poor in spirit. So don't get that confused, because some churches will say, well, Jesus, he took care of the poor. He fed. Listen, Jesus' first response was the gospel. The people who are poor in spirit, the people who are destitute because they don't know him. His first response was not a soup kitchen. His first response was the gospel. The first response was take of me. His first response was blessed are the poor in spirit, because if you hear of me, if you know of me, if you get right, you won't be poor anymore. You'll have all the riches in Christ Jesus. And so don't be confused by that. And reprove or prove out with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. You know what that is, right? That's the Bible. Proceeding out of his mouth is a sharp sword. Remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago that Jesus, he said it. I didn't say it. He said, I came to bring a sword and division. You think I came to bring peace, and I came to stir some stuff up to get it right, to bring to disunion or break up the union of the world and what's supposed to be spiritual. Essentially, he says, I came to sanctify you, to separate you. So he's coming. How are we separated to his goodness? Through his word. Not through our actions, not through politics, not through earthly means or schemes of man. We are separated through the word of God. That's why I say, do we have any Bible readers? The more you know about this word of God, the more separated you are to Jesus Christ. The more you know about this word, the less you want to be in the world. And if not, you are not reading. But he goes on here. And the righteousness shall be, in verse 5, the girdle of his loins, his belt, and faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now we're talking eschatology. We're talking about the millennial kingdom. Listen, eat you. Okay, that's not yet. That's not that. We're not there yet. Okay, don't go out. We talk about the rapture coming after the rapture. So again, I'm doing this I know some of you know this, but some people don't. After the rapture kicks off a seven-year period called the Great Tribulation. And in that seven-year period, the church is gone. The Holy Spirit has gone up. And so the earth is, for the first 3.5 years, not so bad on the surface, but the last 3.5 years, like it before, and there never will be after. Even in that 1,000-year reign, we'll see that at the end of that, Satan is loose for a little period of time. But understand, the Antichrist comes on the scene. You've heard of these things here today. You will not be on earth. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. You'll not be on earth when the Antichrist is here. You'll go up. The Antichrist will be displayed to the world. You don't have to worry about it. Praise God. Because God spared you from that, because you're his bride and he loves you. No good husband's going to leave their bride while they run out to safety. But we see here the lamb is going to lay down with a leopard, and the leopard with a kid, or the wolf with a lamb, and the leopard with a kid, or the goats, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. A lot of people know that. Since it really his truth and his justice and his mercy, as little children oftentimes are, because a little kid, they're just. Even when you don't want them to be, little kids tell you the truth. Even when it's not so nice, they tell you the truth. And, you know, I think it's important that we take that lessons from children, right? We talked about lessons learned this morning. But a little kid, that if they like music, they'll dance to it. They don't need to be prompted. If a little kid's mad at you, they'll punch you. They don't have to be prompted. If a little kid thinks that your hair looks ridiculous, they'll tell you that your hair looks ridiculous. That's just who they are. And so a little child will lead them. Their truth, the justice, the innocence will lead in this. And we see in verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Speaking of, they'll be together. Can you imagine going somewhere and seeing a cow and a bear drinking out of the same water hole? It'd be like almost miraculous, because in our mind, the bear will tear the cow apart to eat it. And I'm thinking to myself, save some beef for me, you know. But listen, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The lion, he's lost his taste for meat. He just wants to eat straw because he's no threat to us anymore. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. That's a poisonous snake. Now, I'm still concerned. I know in the millennial kingdom of the millennial kingdom at that point. You know what I mean? While everybody else is over there, I'm going somewhere else. And Chandra better not talk about trying to have no babies in the millennial kingdom either. That's over. Listen, in verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. and this is Jerusalem. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In the millennial kingdom, the Bible says in Revelation, he rules with a rod of iron. There's no choice but to serve Jesus. He's King Jesus. Every potentate is out of the way. There's no presidents. There's no kings. There's no queens. There's nobody else in charge. Jesus is in charge. Like the water that spread over the earth, he's in charge of everything. He's ruling with a rod of iron. And not just, it goes back to pre-flood days, not just people. He's got dominion over the animals. Even the animals obey. We never heard about Adam and Eve getting attacked by a lion. He named them, but he was never worried about a poisonous snake. The snake that came in poisoned their mind, changed the word of God, and kicked off everything else. Until that point, animals stayed in their place. They did what they were supposed to do. I wouldn't be afraid of snakes without the curse. Jesus is going to get that right. Look at verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign. It's just simply a sign or a banner of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. See, if the people in the New Testament understood Isaiah, we know the Ethiopian eunuch was reading it. If they truly understood it, he said, how can I understand it? Nobody's taught me. They would have understood that salvation was always going to come to the Gentile people, that it was never just intended for the Jews or the Hebrews, but it was always going to be spread. And Isaiah prophesied that. If you're a Gentile here tonight, Isaiah prophesied. He saw you in this sense that you would be able to be saved someday. So why is it important? There's nothing in the Old Testament that you can't understand. Of New Testament scripture that you read is actually New Testament authors quoting the Old Testament. And so it's so important that we see this. Now he's going to go through all these lands, and it's going to come to pass that the Lord shall set his hand against these folks a second time. And that's important because we know that he broke up Assyria and Egypt, and he broke up all these places before, right? None of those places are the world's power now, but that he's going to break up all the world's power in the future as well, that they're all going to go away. Again, not to be a downer, but this is why we know the United States doesn't stand in the prophecy, because it breaks up all the world powers. This comes, there's no need for the United Nations. There's no need for coalitions. There's no need for countries and the battle of Gog and Magog, but there's no reason for Jesus to call any allies. He's like, I got this. So we see that the people are going to be in verse 12. He's going to set up this ensign, and the nations shall assemble the outcome of Israel first of from the four corners of the earth. So this is the Jewish diaspora. We've talked about people who are Jewish by tribe, who are making their way to Israel even now, specifically Jerusalem, there, and they're moving. It started really back when the Jews got their land, part of it, back in Israel. But that ultimately is for the kingdom. The people that live through the tribulation are promise that Abraham was given, that his descendants would outnumber the sand. That ultimately happens. Think of 1,000 years of people being fruitful and multiplying, where there's no death, poisonous snakes can't hurt you, there's no lion attack, there's no shark attack, the weather is perfect. Think about 1,000 years. You can make a lot of babies in those conditions. There's no inflation. Praise the Lord. You can do a lot of things. I almost said something I shouldn't have said, but there's no politicians making it harder for you. Jesus is just in charge, right? Amen. But watch this. Look at verse 13. The envy also of Ephraim, how Ephraim is the northern kingdom and how all these tribes were against each other. Jesus is so good. The beef that Jews have had, Ephraim with Samaria, without it all away. There's a forgiveness. It just, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. Remember, in current day, Ephraim is about to be destroyed. And and Judah's there, and the whole thing in Isaiah where they're trying to bring says, Rezin, listen, pay attention. And the king's messing up. And so even in modern day times, we still have people who are America, still people who are separated by tribes, or they're called to or you've got, you know, the true tribe or, of Jews and things like this, fighting against each other to be the actual chosen Jews. God said, all that's going away. We're not going to have brother against brother. Remember, this is old as sin, Cain versus Abel, right? This is old as sin, Joseph getting thrown into prison, ultimately into the pit and sold into slavery by his brothers. And so and when they went and dispersed the land, some of them didn't like the land they got, and they wanted this, and then they fight against each other. We see in the book of Esther, oh, we had this tribe against this one, or these peoples against this people, because we didn't utterly into all that. And skip all the way down with me. Go down to verse 16. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left like it is, was to Israel in the day that he came out of the land of Egypt. There is going to be, now Assyria, remember, their kingdom would be all of what eventually Babylon would have. And so Mesopotamia, we're talking Iraq, Iran, we're talking all the way over. They came in and deported and overtook Israel. And so we're talking from all that land, almost to Pakistan, over to the west, all the way to the Mediterranean. And the Bible is telling us here is we're going to be free to go anywhere. Talk about how dangerous the highways were in this time. The story of the Good Samaritan, that Jesus was using a modern, in his time, a modern day. Now, Brother Carter was talking about his trip to Cuba and how that pastor goes down and the bandits get him every night. That was common in Jesus' day. It was common here. The highways can still be a very dangerous place, can't they? What do they do? You live in Dayton, Ohio. Right here off the highways are the casinos, the strip clubs, the alcohol joints, because that's majority of the people are passing by. That's why they call it the highway, even though there's low morals at the highway. What ultimately happens, that's where human trafficking is high. That's where drug deals are high. And so lots of bad things happen in and around the highways because that's where the majority of the people are coming through. And it's the quickest getaway. You don't have to walk through a town where people can see you. I can remember working and thinking about folks at the sheriff's office and people would come from Dayton, the drug dealers, and they would go up and down 35 transporting drugs. And they'd get caught in Wilmington or at the hotels or whatever. And so it's still used that way. And so here, the highways aren't going to be dangerous anymore. In the millennial kingdom, we can walk and talk. Now, not Jerusalem, but the earth is still there. There's still people that can be everywhere. And so we can go up and all through the land of what to be Assyria. It wouldn't make sense for Isaiah to say, oh, yeah, we're going to go up there to a country that doesn't exist in his time, right? So we're looking at your Bible map, and you can understand we can go anywhere under Jesus' authority. Look at chapter 12. And so when he says, like in the day of Egypt, remember, Egypt was cut off through the Red Sea, and he parted the Red Sea, correct? He made a highway where they could not previously walk. Jesus, the Lord, used Moses, and he could walk right through it on dry land. He opened up the highway. Same way, deliverance from bondage of these slave masters, of these large nations, of these tyrant kings, and there's deliverance. Jesus is going to make that way. But look at chapter 12, six little verses. And in that day, it connects here, in that day, Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away and comfortest me. Sound like your life? Sound like mine? The wrath of God was against you. You were saved, and when you got saved, you got justified in the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sin, the wrath settler. And where God used to be angry, think of the juxtaposition of that. Where God was once angry with you, now the same God who was angry with you through his Son, Jesus Christ, you. That's a huge thought when you think about this. The same God I was praying to on the airplane a couple of weeks ago, Lord, let us land safely, is the God that 20 years ago was angry with me because of my sin. It reminds you, you know, there's no good, better illustration than that of the Father. The Father God was angry because of our sin. You know, a good father can become angry because of their child's sin. But the same Father from whence comes spankings comes hugs. And the same Father from whence comes judgment comes love, comes these overflowing abundance of care. Verse, behold, God is my salvation. Well, that's a big deal in Messianic because Jesus' name literally means Jehovah is salvation. And so the prophecy, the prediction that this one would come. Now remember, keep it all in context. He's already said Emmanuel's coming, chapter 7, God with us. He's already told us in chapter 9 what he's going to be like and these throne room names, these characteristics of who it is. And now it's saying, not only is this person the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, not only is he God with us, but he is our salvation. And I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now watch the proper response to knowing that Jehovah is salvation. Watch what happens here in verse 3. Therefore, with joy, shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, the living water, the wellspring. Every day you can go back to this same well. Every hour, every minute, every second, you have joy. And you can go back to that well. Isn't that amazing to think about? That we have this joy. Isaiah is telling these folks, hey, there's bad times here, but I want you to understand this. This is what you got to get. When there's times of trouble, when bad things are going on, just because trouble's going on around you doesn't mean you can't be getting better while things still get worse. The world is a literal, proverbial hellhole at this point. But just because the things that are going on around you are bad doesn't mean that you can't have joy and be getting better. Amen. Brother Anthony, you're going to like this. When you go fishing and everybody around you is catching fish, you want to slap them. And steal their spot. You go over there right next to them. I've been so close to my friends when they're catching. I'm right up next to them like this. Like, okay, what bait are you using? What bobber? I'm doing the exact same colors. I'm like, would you cast mine out there? Like, let's do the exact same thing. And it's hard, right? You're not catching. You're not getting it. But you are in Jesus. Even when everybody else around you is catching, you're able to cheerlead and say, I'm glad you're catching something. When you got joy, because joy is not based on your happiness, joy is based on the blessings of God. Joy is happiness confirmed by God. So you can be joyful, you can cheer on other people when that's going on, because Jehovah is my strength and my song and has become my salvation, and there's a wellspring. It never ends. There's always going to be joy in Jesus. And in that day, ye shall praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Now, this is interesting because people had began to call upon the name of the Lord way back in Genesis 12 in Abraham's day, right? People had been calling on the Lord, and Enoch had been taken away years ago walking with God. But here is the first real prophecy. Isaiah being a book 700 years before Christ. The first real prophecy of salvation in happens here. Let me tie it together. And then it says this, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Name that's above every name, that's exalted, that at the name of Jesus. The Father, essentially, right? And so Isaiah is saying, this is my name that you're going to call upon. Yeah, you guys called upon Jehovah. You guys called upon Yahweh. But think about this. All these Hebrew children have been going, They've been in sin. They've been talking about God is great. They've been, oh, we love you. But this name, you're not calling on a God whom you can't see. Remember the Israelites' major beef and why they wanted a king is, we want a king like everybody else. We can't see our king. And he says, oh, I'm going to send you somebody you can see, and you still aren't going to believe. I'm going to give you somebody that you can call on, that you can trust, that you can have joy in, that you can rely on, that you can sing. It can be a song, that there's a wellspring, that it's living water. And he speaks of this, and he says, verse 5, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Remember the New Testament when Jesus does these miracles, and it was published abroad, and these things are going on, and they come to him, and they say, Master, we know that thou art sent from God, but tell us, are you really God? And he said, could anybody do these things except for they be sent from God? And then they say, well, you heal on the Sabbath. And he said, wait a minute, boy, don't you know I'm the one that created the Sabbath? I do whatever I want on the Sabbath day. You see, there's a situation that goes on, and this is just applicable for us, that sometimes we know the great things God has done, and we know what he's done, and we see what he's doing, and it's very plain, but we get in this situation, and Isaiah was telling them, remember where we're at. We've been talking about this. They're in this situation where, well, bad things are happening. Remember we talked about it goes on in the day of Hezekiah when he's actually prophesying. He prophesied during four kings' reign. We talked about that in chapter 1. And they're saying, oh, poor us. After us. Everybody hates us. Everybody. And he's saying, don't you guys remember all the things that God's already done for you? Don't you remember the judges he sent? Remember we talked about that? That he had sent you judges and delivered? Remember we talked about Gideon and how they got freedom over the Midianites? That was about. He keeps reciting. He just did it. The what happened? He keeps on reminding sign, but we just forget from time to time. Christians are and you brought so many people in. You're bringing new people and visitors, and then Monday happens, and you're like, "Oh, why am I believe it, God? Why would you let me get sick?" And you get back to complaining, grumpy mode. Important that we sing unto the Lord because we know he's done excellent things. This is known to all the earth. And then chapter 12, verse 6, last verse. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Isaiah responds to this problem, the fact that there's not just, you know, remember, the Bible's not written in chapter and verses. It's written as one scroll. And so he's saying, we're kind of ending out some of this messianic prophecy and these things. So we've seen in chapter 7, we've seen in chapter 9, we've seen who's coming and how he's coming, born of a virgin. We see the power that he's coming in. And now in chapters 11 and 12, he says, and calls there to be complete peace. All they've known for a long time now is war. War with each other, war with other nations, deportation coming. Things that have been predicted, and he's saying, and now there's going to be complete peace. You're living in a tropical climate where lions are eating people, literally, that happened there, where snake bites are happening and people are dying, and he says, all that's going away, where the wolf is coming in and stealing your little lambs away. All these things are going to end, and the proper response to having a God who is salvation, who's bringing you joy, is to praise him, everybody. Amen. The proper response is to give him all the honor, praise that he's due, all the glory that he's due, to tell him that all the dominion is his, the proper response. So Isaiah does a little preaching there. He does some prophesying, but then he does some preaching. He says, hey, these things are going to happen. Here's the good news. Now that you know the good news, here's how you respond. Praise the Lord. You know what he doesn't say? Praise the Lord when it's good. He says, praise the Lord all the time. When it's bad, praise the Lord. When it's good, praise the Lord. When it's mediocre, praise the Lord. When you don't feel good, praise the Lord. When you feel great, praise the Lord. When you feel like you got to have a heart attack, praise the Lord. When you feel like you're in a panic attack, praise the Lord. When you go outside and it's raining outside, praise the Lord. When it gets wintertime here in Ohio, we all hate it, and the roads are a little bit slippery, praise the Lord, because the snow, even though we don't necessarily always love it, it falls on the just and the unjust, and it waters and fertilizes the ground for the future. All I'm saying is, whether you're blind, praise the Lord. Whether you're deaf, praise the Lord. Whether you got gray hair or no hair, praise the Lord. All these things, he says, praise the Lord, because there's one who is coming in our world, who has come, who's coming again, who is worthy of all praise in any situation. Praise be to God. The book of Isaiah is a great book. We continue on next week and continue on at this point. I think I'm here every Sunday in August, so excited about that. So we'll continue on in our study here in the book of Isaiah. And we are I'm telling you, the book of Isaiah is a powerful book, but we are better for it as we take this view of it this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father God, we ask that you would guide us, Lord, help us as we continue to study through the book of Isaiah. And tonight, pretty simple chapters, but ones that we want to make sure we're going over as we want to look through your word. Father, read it together and study it together. Lord, your word speaks in the book of Nehemiah, how the people read the word together, and they got the sense of the word, and then they went out and applied that word, and I believe on Sunday nights that's what we really strive to do, is to have an understanding of it so that we can see it for ourselves and learn and then apply it to the rest of our lives. Father, we ask tonight that should there be one in the room that does not know you as their personal that they would hear what Isaiah said, that Jehovah is salvation, and his name is Jesus. And it begins to play softly, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this evening and you say, Pastor Brian, I'm not saved. Oh, I'm not saved, or I'm not saved. If you're here today, saved. How do I know that not only when I die that I'll go to heaven, but that while I'm here on earth, that I have an opportunity to have joy, that I have an opportunity to go to the wellspring every single day? How do I know that? Well, first of all, you got to realize that you're bad. That you've made mistakes. The Bible calls it sin, and our sin separates us from God. And it doesn't just separate us from him on earth. It would separate us eternally in hell. How can I get that right? I've done this. I've done that. Listen, if you've ever lied, you're a sinner. If you've ever stolen, you're a sinner. If you've ever had a bad thought, you're a sinner. If you've been jealous, you're a sinner. How do I get that right? Well, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He says this, he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's not trying to make you feel bad. He's not trying to be hard on you. He's just trying to save you from yourself and from sin. So how do you get saved? Well, you give up yourself in sin. You repent and believe the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, we call it the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the good news. That God in his love toward sinners did send his only son to take your place and my place on the cross. And in doing so, the Bible says he who knew no sin became sin, that what we might become the righteousness of God, that we might be right with God. So he took your sin and he put it on himself. He says, I'm going to take that sin to the cross and kill it. And then he buried it. Buried it so far deep down that he rose the third day. And in raising, he proved that he had defeated the last enemy, which is death. In defeating death, it means he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and your sin. And tonight, if you would believe that Jesus died to pay for your sin, that he was buried and that he arose the third day according to the scriptures, you can raise with him and come out of the grave in newness of life by simply calling upon his name. For whoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. How do you do that? Believing in your heart. Confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Should you be here tonight or online and you say, I want to call upon his name, I would impress upon you to repeat in your mind. You don't have to say it out loud. I'm not going to come to your seat. It's between you and God. I'm with you. I don't always this or repeat a prayer, but tonight I feel led that maybe if you feel led, you say, I need to be saved to know it. I need to repent. Oh, that's so important, repent, that you want to turn away from sin and yourself, and you want to turn towards God. You want to stop doing it your way and start doing it God's way. If that's you tonight, in your heart and in your mind, would you pray and ask the Lord something like this, saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I believe that your son Jesus truly died on the cross, buried my sin, and rose again, offering newness of life with him. Help me, Lord, to follow you. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to live for you and not myself the rest of my life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, those that are online, you could respond if you feel led to. Don't be ashamed. I'm not going to come to your seat to call your name tonight. Is there anybody in this room that said, I pray that tonight would just raise their eyes and look at me and say, that's me tonight. I pray that. Amen. I see that. Yep, I see those. Thank you. Anybody else like that tonight says, I prayed that prayer and I really believed it. Yep. You can put them down. Thank you. And tonight I offer this. We have what we call invitation and appeal time, where we appeal to the hearts of men through the scriptures of God. If you feel led to come to the altar tonight, we'd love for you to make a public stand if you prayed that in Jesus tonight. We pray that you would come and say, that's us. We're just going to rejoice. There's rejoicing already, and the angels of heaven are rejoicing over you coming to repentance and faith. We'd love to rejoice with you. God has given the church here on earth to provide a heavenly atmosphere. We would love to rejoice with you tonight. So there's no singing tonight, just the music playing. We're going to give it to the Lord now. Church family, maybe pray. Maybe you want to restore the joy of Jesus in your heart. Come to the wellspring. There's no better place than to do it than the old-fashioned altar. Tonight, Lord, have your way and will with this time of invitation and appeal. We pray. You'll come now. Come on. Anybody that needs to come tonight, we're here. If you prayed that prayer tonight and you need to be saved, I'm here. You can walk right to me. I'll be right here with you. In the Bible, what it is. Maybe you're here tonight, you want to pray for our campers. You want to pray for